And welcome everyone to our Final Four preview. I'm Andy Katz here in the Glendale, Phoenix area. I am inside the State Farm Stadium as we speak. I'm actually in one of the breakout rooms here in the media center as we get ready to talk to all four teams. I'll have sit downs with all four head coaches, and you'll be able to see those on our various platforms. So that'll take place here on Thursday. UConn, by the way, I want to say off the top, is still expected to have their regular media time. They were actually conveniently last on the day. So they're at this point, no need to change that. And, you know, they got in at like 3 a.m. Mechanical problems from their plane. Finally, the plane gets there. They end up leaving Bradley, I think, around 11:30 or 12 early this morning, getting here. And obviously, they'll have plenty of time to sleep. Today is Thursday, as we're talking. Game's not till late Saturday night for them. They're the second game, so they should be fine. Purdue and Alabama did get here on Tuesday, and NC State got here earlier on Wednesday. It is, I just want to say overall, pretty crazy Final Four, and a lot of times we see this. We've got the two dominant teams that we'll talk about momentarily in Purdue and UConn. We've got the Cinderella yet again in the Southwest in NC State, winning 9 games in a row. They had lost 4 prior to the ACC tournament. They had to play on Tuesday. It had never been done to win 5 games in 5 days. Took a buzzer-beating banker three-pointer just to get to overtime in the semis against Virginia. And they get lucky, essentially, by going against Oakland versus Kentucky. They knock off Marquette handily, and they beat their rival Duke. So it's been quite a ride. And Alabama, you know, kind of crazy that they're here a year after they were 1 seed and got upset by San Diego State. So, to me, these are the top 5 storylines heading in to the Final Four. At number 1, it's UConn's dominance. I was on the sideline for the Elite Eight matchup against Illinois. I've been covering the sport for 3 decades. I don't even remember in a bye game, a guarantee game of some directional school at a high-profile school, a 30-0 run. It was unbelievable going from a 23-all score late in the first to 28-3 at halftime. It was, what, almost 40 to 50 minutes of real clock time, like just, you know, time that Illinois didn't score. So really remarkable that they were able to pull it off. So their dominance is the story, no question, of this NCAA tournament, really the last 2 NCAA tournaments. They continuously beat teams by double figures. And what's interesting here in my reporting the other day was opposing coaches continue to tell me that UConn essentially looks for blood. When they see the weakness, they're going to pound on you and they're going to try to destroy you. There is a no mercy aspect to this team. And it works. The intimidation works. You give them that just that little opening, they get the runouts, and it is over. I mean, it's so quick the way it happens where you're suddenly down double figures. So that is certainly, you know, the first thing that pops out for me is one of the main storylines is not just is UConn going to win, but are they going to win by double figures? That's the story. Are they going to get – because if they get a double-figure lead, whether it's Saturday or Monday, it's been very difficult for teams to come back against them, regardless of games this season. You know, think about their losses. At Kansas, they almost had a chance to win. At Seton Hall without Klingon, and at Creighton, which is really their one game that, you know, they certainly didn't play well. Second storyline, it's Purdue's redemption. The similarities to 2018-2019 Virginia, I mean, the parallels are remarkable. 2018 Virginia, they lose to UMBC 16-1, first time ever. The core of that team comes back, but they're a little bit better. DeAndre Hunter, Kyle Guy, Ty Jerome, they're all just better. Diakite. Next year, struggle in the first round against Gardner-Webb. And then there was that Purdue game in the Elite Eight where they needed this miraculous pass to Diakite to get the bucket. Virginia goes into overtime and beats this Carson Edwards-led Purdue team. In the Final Four, there were heroics to knock off Auburn and then Texas Tech in the final seconds. Three free throws by Kyle Guy. Everything went well for Virginia. Well, here's Purdue. Losing to FDU in the first round. Sitting in that, as Matt Painter said. Not running from it. The core of the team comes back. Zach Edey, redemption tour. Naismith winner. Going to win it again. They add Lance Jones, key piece. Braden Smith is better. Fletcher Lawyer is better. Cam Heidi, their freshman, and Miles Coleman, they've contributed. Everyone else plays a great role. Trey Kaufman, Wren, they all have bought in. So that's why you saw that emotion. Not just because it's been since 1980 that they got into the Final Four with that win over Tennessee. First of all, not easy. Dalton Knecht has 37. But the fact that what occurred last year, what occurred the year before against St. Peter's, the year before that with Little Rock, the double-digit seed losses. If they win Saturday and Monday, it will be one of the better redemption stories that we've seen. Obviously, Virginia's here. Purdue would be here. I mean, it's hard to put one over the other, but it would be pretty remarkable. Number three on my list of top five storylines to follow, NC State's magical ride. I brought this up at the beginning. What they did in the ACC tournament, never been done. 5 wins, 5 days. You know, you play who's in front of you. They beat Texas Tech. So let's just say, I haven't picked them one game here. I've been wrong every time on NC State. I've been right on UConn and Purdue. I was right on Alabama toward the end. But I've been wrong on NC State every time. I mean, look at on our screen here. So I had Texas Tech beating him. Then I thought Kentucky would beat him, and Oakland upsets Kentucky. So now you get Oakland. By the way, that game went to overtime. You beat Oakland. Marquette played great in Indianapolis. I was there. They were a team on a mission. They totally took Marquette out of everything they did, except for Tyler Kolek. He was the only one that played well. Now you go against your arch rival, Duke. Well, Duke just beat Houston. I know without Jamal Shedd for all but, I don't know, like 7 minutes. But they were the better team. They had a great second half, came back, and DJ Burns was sensational. Their role players played really well, all their rotation guys, and here they are. It's not the same as 83, but it's comparable, because an 83 team wasn't supposed to get there. That was in Albuquerque. We're in Phoenix. Number two, if NC State's to pull off the whole thing, you know, they beat Louisville and then Houston, okay? They would have to go take down Purdue and likely UConn. So I kind of think, like, if they pull this off, this would be bigger than 83. Obviously, what happened with Jimmy V running around the court and all that. But, I mean, Kevin Keats, you know, it was a little tenuous situation. So that's number three. Number four. And I referenced this earlier. Alabama shooting. I mean, they had 16 threes in the win over at Clemson. Mark Sears had 7. Their only hope, because they don't match up well inside, is if they can make threes. I think it's got to be in the 18 to 20 range. You do that, they got a chance. I mean, Mark Sears was unbelievable. Think about this with Alabama. You have Mark Sears from Ohio, Grant Nelson from North Dakota State, Aaron Estrada from Hofstra, Nate Oates, who was formerly a high school coach, then Buffalo, then Alabama. So if they shoot well, they got a chance. They have to make threes. They cannot allow runouts. They cannot turn the ball over if they're going to beat UConn. And my fifth storyline, I'm sorry, Alabama and NC State. We need a UConn-Purdue final. I'm rooting for the story here. Sorry. I think that's the game that we have wanted to see. We, the collective we. They've been the two best teams all year. It would really say even more about UConn if they knocked off Purdue to win their second national championship. And then for Purdue to win their first, if they knock off UConn, that would say something else as well. Now, I picked UConn over Purdue, and I'm going to stick with that. But, you know, Edie, Klingon, Smith, Newton, Lawyer versus Spencer, or Jones versus Spencer, and Caravan versus Gillis, Trey Kaufman, Wren, you know, the matchups are right there. I think it'd be a great game, and I think it would be single digits, not double figures. So those are my top five storylines as we head into the Final Four. See if we got a couple of things here. We got a lot of Roll Tide here. I mean, it really is remarkable that the Alabama's here. Well, you guys are sleeping. I'm up early here out in Phoenix. But we don't have as many questions today, and that's okay. Let's see here. We got one coming here. All right, so Xander asks, what does Alabama need to do to pull an upset of UConn? They're going to have to crash the glass. They're going to have to make threes, and they cannot turn the ball over. It's pretty simple, pretty basic. That's what they have to do. For NC State, you know, to me, all the pressure's on Purdue. And if NC State gets this game tight, it could be problems. The pressure this entire weekend is on UConn. Purdue, I think, will feel less pressure if they're playing Monday night, regardless of who they're playing against. But I think all the pressure is on UConn to get it done. So, all right, so we're going to wrap. So as we go through this again, it's UConn's dominance, Purdue's redemption, NC State's magical ride, Alabama's shooting, the need for UConn-Purdue final. Yes, Hurley is on a mission to get the Huskies back-to-back, which would be the first time since Florida did it in 06-07. Prior to that, it was just Duke in 91-92. Edie will win the Naismith and the Wooden and the AP. First back-to-back men's Naismith winner and award winner since Ralph Sampson in the early 80s. Check out our coverage here on Bleacher Report, March Madness MBB, NCAA.com. You can follow me at The Andy Katz on Twitter, formerly known as X, at The Real Andy Katz on Instagram. You can see our interviews for head coaches. We're going to do that today. You can also hear me on Westwood One doing sideline this weekend on Saturday and Monday. So check out all the coverage here in Phoenix. I'm in State Farm Stadium getting ready for our first interview with Purdue's Matt Painter. Of all head coaches that were going to sit down with us throughout the day here on Thursday. Thanks for watching, engaging, and enjoy the Final Four.